3. There are lesson sheets out there. If you didn't get one, they're out there if you'd like one. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3. And we'll start what I think will be the first of 3 lessons on the first 7 verses of Ephesians chapter 3. And just a good passage of scripture. And when we come to the end of Ephesians chapter 3, then we really get into some chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6 of Ephesians are just matchless chapters. There's just so much meat in there. And look forward to that. So would you stand with me if you're physically able as we read the Word of God tonight, Ephesians chapter number 3. We'll read verses 1 through 7, and as is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 7? Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 1 through 7. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. In our last lesson, it was our last 3 lessons, we concluded our study of the household of God. The household of God. And so we looked at 3 points there. We looked in chapter 2, verse 19, at that phrase, the household of God. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And then we looked at the metaphor of the building of God. Verse 20, it says there, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple. And then thirdly there, we looked at the purpose of God, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, so we looked at those 3 things, 3 different lessons there. Many times in the scriptures, the thought being conveyed does not cease simply because the chapter does. Okay, never forget, chapters, verses, divisions were added afterwards. It's fine, it's good, it helps us to be able to find them. Nothing wrong with it, amen. But many times a thought continues on into another chapter. And that's exactly what happens here. What we have is the phrase, for this cause, is used in, you have a blank line there, chapter 3, verse 1 and 14. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 14, you see that phrase, for this cause, okay? That tells you to look back at what we've just read, or look back at what we've just studied. It says, for this cause. Well, what's this cause? What's it talking about? It brings the reader back to the preceding verses and continues the thought of the united church of God. Remember, again, going back to our previous lessons, we're talking about, really, for the first time, Jews and Gentiles together worshiping the Lord. That was part of the purpose of God. And it actually says there in chapter 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So it's continuing the thought on, but there's kind of a parenthesis, if we could, here, as Paul is talking about that, but then he relates some things about himself. And of course, obviously, we know the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, inspired Paul, but he gives a few things about Paul here, and we'll look at Roman numeral number 1 tonight. First of all, the detention of Paul. The detention of Paul. He was a prisoner, okay? He was a prisoner. And the first place we see that he was a prisoner, really, or the first part of his being a prisoner was he was a prisoner by Rome, okay? Paul was a prisoner by Rome, okay? We have a little note here under that. Roman imprisonment was not new to Paul, okay? Roman imprisonment was not new to Paul. Let's take our Bibles, hold your place there in Ephesians, and let's go back into the book of Acts, and we'll look a little bit through Acts here. Acts chapter 16, and we see the first place that Paul was imprisoned. Does anybody know it? Amen. Some of you may. Philippi. Amen. He was imprisoned at Philippi. And you remember what it was for? There was a young girl that was possessed of a devil, and Paul cast that devil out, and that little girl, that devil and that little girl made a lot of money for a lot of people, so it made a lot of people mad. You know, it's amazing to me that someone would get mad about a little girl being cured of a devil. Huh? You'd think people would rejoice. Say, boy, that poor little girl, she suffered. But no, because she was a moneymaker for them, they got upset. Acts chapter 16, and look at verse number 16. It says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation." You know, it's amazing. You can read things in the Bible that are true. That's true. But who's saying it here? Is this devil inside of this little girl is mocking Paul and his missionary team. "But this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Well, I'll tell you what, if that's trouble in a city, we need some troublemakers. Amen? It says, "And teach customs which are not lawful to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into" what? Prison. Cast them into prison. And we know just a couple verses down at verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." And you, of course, remember the earthquake and the jailer coming and saying, "What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." So Paul's first imprisonment was in Philippi. Then secondly, if you go to Acts chapter 21, and we kind of get the background of where Paul is here, and then it really takes place in 23, but chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "After those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem," and that's be there, Jerusalem. "There went also with us certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Manassen of Cyprus, an old disciple of whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." If you go over to chapter 23, chapter number 23, it tells the story. And you get down to verse number 9. What happened? They got to preaching again. It caused a stir. "And there arose a great cry of the scribes and of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down, take him by force from among them, and bring him into the castle." So he was confined in a castle in Jerusalem, in the jail. Okay? Thirdly, if you look at the next, it says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." And it goes down, it says, "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together, bound themselves under a curse, and they'd neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul, and they were more than 40, which made this conspiracy." And you remember that the story about what happened here is they whisked him off. If you read down verse 23, it says, "And he called unto them, the two centurions, saying, Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea." Okay, so Paul went to Caesarea and was imprisoned there in Caesarea. Okay, and then the last place we know, and we don't have time to read it all, there is in Acts chapter 28, the last place we understand that Paul was in prison was in Rome. Okay, that was where he met the executioner, lost his life. So the detention of Paul was detained several times in prison, Philippi, Jerusalem, Caesarea, and Rome. And by the way, if you love your Bible tonight, say amen. Amen. Okay, did you know several of the epistles that we love were written from guess where? Prison. How about that Philippian jailer that got saved? Never would have got saved if Paul wasn't in prison. Amen. And so we'll look at that in just a little bit. But so the detention of Paul, he was a prisoner by Rome. Number two, he was a prisoner for the Gentiles. You're in Acts chapter number 28. Go to chapter 22. He was a prisoner for the Gentiles. And we have a note under here. Paul, a Jew, was a prisoner for the sake of the Gentiles. Okay? And that's Acts chapter 22. Look at verse number 17, please. It says, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me," talking about the Jews to Paul. "And I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the arraignment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto" who? The Gentiles. The Gentiles. So Paul here is relating his detention, that he is, yes, he was a prisoner of Rome, but he was a prisoner for the sake of the Gentiles. For the sake of the Gentiles. I read a commentary today by a fellow named Lehman Strauss. He said, every one of us who is a Gentile ought to thank God for Paul and what he did in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen. But then, not only the detention of Paul, he was a prisoner by Rome, and he was a prisoner for the Gentiles, but he was a prisoner of Christ. He was a prisoner of Christ. He said that right there. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So, four lines there we have. Paul had preached about Christ and was under house arrest when he wrote this, okay? He had appealed to Caesar and was awaiting trial. He, by the way, it's very neat how Paul used his Roman citizenship to the advantage of the gospel. If you read through, and I wish I had taken time, I may in the next lesson just mark how Paul had won people in Caesar's household to the Lord. And it's just amazing when you think about that, how he used, even the time when they were beaten, and he said, you know, it's not lawful for you to beat Romans. And remember, he used that to his advantage, amen, to be able to preach the gospel. So here, he's preached about Christ, and he's under house arrest, and he's appealed to Caesar and is awaiting trial. We could say this, he's done everything in his power. But in the end, ladies and gentlemen, in the end, Paul recognized that he was a prisoner of a sovereign God. And that is this, he was ultimately in Christ's service. You know, can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? what happens in our lives crosses God's desk. You say, I don't like this. I don't think this is fair. Listen, I think some of us need to go back and read Job. Okay? If you think God's being unfair to you, and by the way, I'd rather have him be gracious and merciful than fair. Fair is hell. That's fair. That's what we deserve. And all God's people said. What Paul recognized was, here he was in prison. And he says it again later. I think it's verse number 13 or 14. We're obviously, we got a couple weeks before we get there. But he's saying, listen, don't feel sorry for me. I'm here by Christ's command. This is where God has me. Hey, can you think of somebody in the Old Testament that was like that? How about Joseph? Yeah. This is where God... Hey, have you ever been in a spot where you thought, gee whiz, I wonder, what, well, God, where are you in this? You need to remember, listen, you belong to God. And God knows what he's doing with your life. And God can put you in a place that doesn't make any sense at all. Hey, you know what I think of when I think of Paul in prison? Forgive me for being selfish. I think of us in the prison epistles. And think of all that Paul wrote there when he was in prison. I mentioned the jailer, amen. You think of others that Paul was able to reach because, listen, he was technically a prisoner of Rome, but he was the prisoner of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like the story, obviously it's coming up Christmas time, amen. And we read about there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, right? Now, who was in charge? It wasn't Caesar. It was God. Why did that decree come about? Because Mary and Joseph had to get to Bethlehem so a 700-year-old prophecy could be fulfilled. Now, Caesar Augustus thought he was in charge. God's in charge. You know what Paul said? God's in charge. I'm a prisoner here at his request. You know, you think about that. I said, I'm a guest at so-and-so's request. Amen. I'm here as a guest. Paul says, I'm a guest at the jail at Philippi at Jesus' request. See, what's he trying to say here? He's going to tell us about that, about this minister of the mystery. Say, what's the mystery? That Jews and Gentiles would be saved and would be part of the church. What a blessing. What a blessing. Father, thank you so much for, Lord, just this wonderful passage. Just one verse tonight, God. There's so much in there. And so much, Lord, just it's so rich. And I thank you so much for it. Thank you for this passage in this lesson tonight. Lord, thank you for the Apostle Paul and, Lord, the lessons that we can learn from him, suffering of hardship, and, Lord, for the gospel's sake, how you used him in such a special way. Thank you that, Lord, you always have a plan. Sometimes we can't see what it is, but, Lord, we know that you are in control. We pray that you'd bless now as we close our service tonight, as we, Lord, have our business time, and Lord, be with us as we sing now, and Lord, in all that's said and done, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. How about